Walk me through how you got to who you are today. Was it easy?
No, definitely not easy, man. It took a lot of grit. You know, I come from humble beginnings, very humble beginnings. So when you have that background, which is virtual, that's also good. You're priming your mind. This is a background you want to have. And in a year or two from now, I guarantee you we'll do another podcast and you'll be in the real house with that background, or a real office with that background, right? And I started in a laundry room in the basement, looked like a dungeon, right, with my computer. So I mean, it's humble beginnings. I mean, I came here, my parents didn't really know English, you know, foreign parents, and my dad left everything. He used to run a branch of banks in Dubai, and he left Dubai and came here with me because he wanted to give us, you know, a better life in America. And he had to work at a gas station, night shift, very bad location. So just growing up and watching my dad leave everything he had, come start from scratch here, not knowing English, work a shitty job. My mom works at a factory, you know, making sweets, all dust and powder all day long, coming home, cooking, cleaning. I think that's where it really started for me. It started for me where all my friends at school had Christmases and I never had a Christmas, you know? It started where all my friends were playing sports at school and I would have to quit football because I had to go work at the gas station to help out my pops, you know? And I think that's where I really got the grit as far as my back was against the wall. And look, I'm not taking anything away from people that grow up with a financially savvy household and, you know, that get things, you know, handed to them, or that get things, you know, earned to them, or however they get things. I'm not taking anything away from those people. But my personal opinion is I'm the man I am today because I was raised watching a hard lifestyle for my family and my back was against the wall. And I think because my back was against the wall, I have these memories driving an ice cream truck, working at Subways in the ghetto, working at the gas station night shift, opening, closing, right? Not really enjoying myself in high school like I really wanted to. Because of all of that, sales happened. How did sales happen? Well, it started at the gas station talking to people, and I found out my shift sells a lot more than other shifts. Why? Because it was my dad's gas station and I wanted to help him, so I'd be nice to people. You know, that's how it started. But then people would come in asking for me at a gas station. I'm like, okay, you know, my dad's like, these customers love you, you know, keep doing what you're doing. In the subway, I just took that same traits of just having a smile on and making jokes and making people laugh and, you know, adding on products that they might need from a gas station counter. I took that to the subway, and I took that same traits at a subway to the ice cream truck. And the ice cream truck, I made a business card. I was the only ice cream man with a business card, so they'd call me to come. And they'd pile up the kids for me, and I had deliveries waiting for ice cream. Then I started selling fireworks out of my ice cream truck in the summer before July 4th. And now I'm making double the money. And also, that's where the sales happened. Then in high school, my senior year, junior year, you know, I was popular because, you know, I worked hard, I was confident, and like, I didn't care what anybody thought of me. And I clowned around and stuff, and I, you know, hung out with, you know, the goose and stuff. And I couldn't really go to the parties, so I said, you know, one way I can make sure I can go to the parties is if I throw the parties. True. What if I was able to make money off the party? Then I could get somebody to work for me at the gas station. I'll throw the party, I'll enjoy the party, and I'll make money. And then I started doing parties, and I started making, you know, 10, 15,000 as a 17-year-old at a party. I'm like, damn, you know, this is something. When I was throwing those parties, I would have to go to campuses or high schools or people I didn't know and literally hand them flyers. Say, hey, we got a great Christmas party coming, come out there. Go up to girls, give them flyers, come out there, come out there, come out there. And I built that confidence through doing that. Now, people might say, well, yeah, it's not that easy to be confident. But again, I'm going to lead you back to my back was against the wall. All I wanted was to have a better lifestyle. All I wanted was to not work these shitty jobs anymore. All I wanted was to retire my parents. That was in the back of my mind, and that drove me to forget about self-doubt or being nervous, and that drove me to be confident, right? So flyers and stuff, parties start doing well. After that, got out of the parties because cops started coming, fights started breaking out, just got a little messy, right? I didn't want to lead that lifestyle for long, so went to college, was going to become a lawyer because I felt like I could. There's a lot of people that I got screwed personally by a detective when I was younger, put me in an office in a room for 8 hours, didn't tell me I had access to a lawyer, got some information out of me that I didn't even do, just drew it out of me because I was a young kid in a room for 8 hours with nobody else in there. And I was really disgusted from that process. So I wanted to become an attorney and fight against people that do those kind of things. And then, you know, when I got to law school, I was opening a business with my brothers at the same time for accessories and novelties. And I couldn't keep up with both, so I didn't finish law school. I grew the business with my brothers, and that was like the next level of sales, where I was training salespeople as a distribution company. We used to sell business to business, supplies and novelties. And as soon as I trained the sales force, I would start calling people on the phone. And how would I call people? I would literally Google Holiday Inn Corporate, 7-Eleven Corporate. I'd have to call the 1-800 number, get past the gatekeeper, try to get to the right person, send a professional email as a 22-year-old, 21-year-old, you know, using these templates online, fly out to Georgia, fly out to, you know, Maryland, go meet with these corporations. They give me a meeting, go there with a suit and tie. Even though I wasn't making money, I had to pretend I was making money, try to get them on board, and really built that business nationwide through doing that. And, you know, that was the biggest sales experience I had. And then after that, we sold the company and went to Rocket, you know, Mortgage, which I was blessed for, because that place really changed my life. It took me to the next level. There's a lot of money in mortgages, you know, especially as a loan originator or broker. And when I went there, because of all the experience I had, I was automatically catapulted up front in the line as far as production's concerned. I was a top producer, you know, hence all these awards behind me. I was winning awards every single month.
So through that journey, you know, being a top banker, because the company, accessory company,
yeah,
like you don't notice it, but when you go through things in your life, they shape you to be the person in the next tunnel you're in. So when I sold the accessory business, I was upset, you know, felt like I lost money. I didn't make a good return on my investment, invested 10 years. But when I came to Rocket, the reason I was number one is because of the cell phone accessory company, you know, going door to door and taking no's to the face is a lot harder than taking no's on a phone call.
Yeah, it's a different business.
Yeah, so I was already accustomed and trained to the mental toughness of sales from that business, so became a top originator here right away because just the grit and the hustle, like you said. I see people with nice cars. I never ever got mad and said, oh, F these people, they have nice cars. I don't. I always said, like, I'm going to have a nice car. When I went to my friend's house with a pool in it, I'm going to have a backyard with a pool in it. So it was always from the pain of, I know what it took growing up, not having it financially stable and having to work hard to help my parents. I never ever want to go back to that. Now coming to Rocket, the month I made my first big check, it was like 30 something thousand. I had to rub my eyes and look three times, right? Because I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it was real. When I got that, I started running towards pleasure. I retired my parents. I bought a house. I bought a car. I started accomplishing things in 1 year that I had a vision of doing in 5 years. And I realized how fast you could actually accomplish things when you have the right resources and the right vehicle to drive you. And Rocket was that vehicle for me, because I was making triple what I was making running my company before Rocket. So until today, 8 years later, I remember the pain. I never want to be broke again. I never want to struggle again. I don't want my son to have to struggle. I don't want my son to have to work and help me. And then I remember the pleasure. I look around at my house, I have bills to pay. I look at the car, this is a beautiful car. It makes me feel good. I got to pay the bill for this car. And I say, what's next after that? What's next? I want to have a house just like I have in Michigan and Florida. And no, I don't want to rent out either one. I want to have them fully furnished and I want to pay for both of them. And I want to go back and forth and have them both ready for me. What's next? I want to have two cars instead of one car. Me and my wife share a car. I want to get her a second car. You know, I'm thinking of selling the second car right now because we just got a Tesla. And I'm like, in my mind, why do I have to sell it? Why can't I make more and afford both? So it's running from the pain. I never want to feel that again. It's running towards the pleasure. I'm accomplishing things. I look around, they're all around me. And then it's what's next. It's a combination of those three things. And after a while, it's like automatic now. I mean, there's a bunch of small things that go with that, right? What you listen to every single morning. Who you talk to, who you associate yourself with. I don't mess with negative people. If somebody's not helping me grow, I stay away from them. You know, I do what I can and I move on. Instead of listening to music, I listen to your podcast. Like, so I'm always trying to learn and grow and just surround myself with positive people. And that doesn't mean me and you have to have a drink and hang out. There's YouTube, there's Google, there's positive documentaries. There's all kinds of things that you could fill your mind up to grow. So I've suffocated myself with that for 5 years. And now I feel like I'm just like automatically wake up. What's next? What's next? What's next? I can't stop.
Before you know it, I had vision boards in front of me of the house I wanted, the car I wanted, the wife I wanted. I had my goals written down that I wanted to retire my parents. And through this whole process, by the way, I used to read these goals every day. I used to make a gratitude list every day. I used to have backgrounds like you have every day. I used to have vision boards and goals in front of me every day. All this stuff was still happening simultaneously throughout the process. And I tell you that because within my first couple of years there, 2017, 2018, retired my parents, bought them a house, bought me a house, got married, upgraded my house, upgraded my car. So all the things that I dreamed of started happening. At the mortgage companies that I was working for, I was a top producer and a top leader, and then people started coming up to me that were struggling. I trained them for a couple of weeks and they'd no longer struggle. So that's where this whole thing sparked. And then I started getting phone calls and emails. Hey, I heard you took so-and-so and you made him his first $20,000 check. Could you do that for me? And I say, yeah, you know, come by. I run this training every Monday for people struggling. Come by to it. And I was just doing it voluntary. You know, I wasn't making any money or anything. Just helping people to get good karma back. You know, it felt good. And then pretty soon I had 100, 200, 300 people. I didn't have no more room for them. I'm like, all right, we got something here, you know? So I started a sales academy online, weekly coaching sessions. Inside of the sales academy is also a leadership academy because I became a great leader in that company and learned how to automate things and really build people up, which is leadership. And then I added a bonus mindset academy as well. And it's all three in one because I believe the mind has to be right first. Then we could focus on the sales. And with sales comes leadership, right? And leadership could apply to your family, your friends, your business, whatever it is. So those are the three pillars of success, I think. Sales and communication, leadership and culture, and mindset is the foundation. So I put it into, I call it a success academy. These three things make you, you know, the top version of yourself.
When I first started banking, I didn't know anything about mortgages. I knew how to make people like me. So I'd keep asking questions. Does this qualify somebody? Does this not? Then I make cheat sheets, right? This doesn't qualify somebody. This does. Here's the questions to ask. And then, how do I make somebody like me? Well, I made some questions I could ask during income, some stories I could share during assets. And I documented a process as a salesperson. So we had our own CPP that we used to give people to use. I made my own CPP for myself because I need to go through it to learn. This CPP form I used for 5 years. And when I became a director, I started giving my team this form. We called it like our sauce. You know, that was our script that we used to master the relationship while mastering qualifying at the same time. Keep in mind, I could have got shut down on the role and I could have did all of that for nothing. But I spent 30 days every day after originating from 6 p.m. to 12 p.m. and I wrote down, I'm a director, what am I going to do? This stuff has to be easy when I start. I want to have everything ready to go. So built a team name, team standards, what am I going to do one-on-ones? What am I going to do trainings? What kind of trainings am I going to do? How am I going to motivate people? What kind of contests could I run? What's my team identity going to be? How am I going to keep that identity alive? And I came up with my whole business plan to be a director before I was a director. So I think it's like moving 5 steps ahead, documenting the process was very important because when I became a director, I started making prepackaged huddles. It was a huddle that was made for you to run with your team, like all access. I got good at documenting the process. And then after a while, I had so many processes and trainings and things I documented for sales and leaders. I said, you know what? I need to make an academy with all this stuff and help leaders and salespeople across the country because it's all universal and it's all foundational.
And then we took that stuff and then we got a call from an insurance company. We're like, huh, do you think the same exact stuff applies to insurance? It applies to mortgages? And it did. And then a car sales company called us, a big car dealership. Huh, do you think the same stuff that applies to mortgages on the phone will apply to a car dealership in person? And it did. And same thing with the leadership, you know? Do you think the same thing applies for a medical therapy leadership that applies to mortgages? And it did, you know? So we took these things, we've made them into an academy, we consult, we train, we coach weekly. Our last client went from, you know, 86,000 revenue to 480,000 revenue month in, month out, you know, over 7-8x increase just by building these fundamentals of leadership, like running contests, having promotions, celebrating your people, building personal relationships with your people, having ownership, accountability, reporting, making reporting fun. So many different things we do that's been helping. So really it's starting to kick off, man. And I'll tell you, I've been doing this for, obviously it's evolved, you know. I started off on a YouTube where I was just doing videos and I started summarizing success books and 10 takeaways in 10 minutes. Then I started the podcast. Then I even did like motivational speeches with inspirational music behind, like so many different things I was doing and they kept evolving to the next. And I'll tell you, man, I went 3 years not getting views, you know, 100 followers on Instagram, 50 subscribers on YouTube. Like I ate dirt and mud for years. people used to tell me, appreciate your consistency. You know, man, I love that you're consistent, even though, you know, you're not getting likes or follows. But I kept, you know, adapting, and I kept evolving and changing the way I did things, which is how I got to documenting the process instead of documenting myself, which is doing a lot better now, you know. I'm not where I want to be still. You know, most of my business comes from referrals. I'm not getting a lot of business, you know, from Instagram and TikTok yet, which is a whole other avenue of explosion that could happen. But I'm growing, you know, steadily. 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 followers, 3,000-4,000 subscribers on YouTube. This is the most growth I've had, and I'm happy with it. And I'm still learning, and I still have room for improvement. So the reason why I tell you that is because, why did I keep posting every single day? It's hard. You know, sometimes it's hard, man. I got to those points so many times, like, why am I sitting here recording a video that I'm not getting views on, nobody's liking or sharing? You know, why am I doing all this? But then I kept saying, wait, but you know why you're doing all this? Because you change people's lives and it works. And you've proven it yourself and you're doing it every day. And then the question just became, how do I connect changing people's lives to promoting a business on social media? And then the academy met in the middle and it combined those two things together. So it's still evolving, man. And I think in a couple of years, it'll evolve even more. The most important part of that journey is I ate shit for 3-4 years with no recognition, no follows and no likes. And I kept on going. So I'm here to tell everybody listening, you might be in those shoes right now where you don't have the recognition, you don't have the financial capability to grow. But maybe if you just keep eating shit and adapting and changing, you're gonna get it right once, at least once. And once you get that one time right, guess what happens? That's gonna open up the door for another right time, another right time. And then you keep evolving through those tunnels of life till you eventually become the person that you wanna be.
Hey, thanks so much for watching the video. I hope you're enjoying it. If you'd like to see a bunch more content exclusively for you, sales, leadership, mindset, business, growth, click right down here below and hit subscribe for me. Every single week, you're going to get exclusive content delivered to you first. We also have a link in the bio with all of our products and coaching. We'd love to help you 10x your business and 10x your sales. Thank you for being a part of the community. We appreciate you.